County National Bank time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
It's Catherine Walker and William Jors.
Wow.
Very formal. Very formal this morning.
Very formal.
The only one that ever called me William was my dad or Barb Weed at McConkie Real Estate.
Did your mom never call you by all three names when you got in trouble?
No, my mom always called me Bill, but my dad would usually call me everybody else's name but my name, and then finally realize
and get down to you.
It was William he was speaking to, but yeah.
Had to go down the list of everybody.
When you're the youngest of six, you're at the bottom of the barrel for a lot of things.
And, so. And then by the time it finally gets to you, the point's mute, and you're just like, okay, am I in trouble or not? I'm not quite sure.
Well, the golf clubs I used to inherit didn't have a whole... The golf clubs that finally filtered down to me didn't have a lot of grooves on them after our family is done with them. But no, a lot of Hammond. Where do you stand in your family? How many kids are in your family?
There's three. It was just two of us. And then when I was 12, had a little brother. So I was kind of the baby for a while and then in the middle, but I'm the only girl.
Oh, well, that's probably pretty good.
It has its perks.
Yeah, I bet it does. Well, being the baby has its perks. I mean, Everyone should know better when I get in trouble. If I was with any of my older brothers or sisters, it was
always
Bobby,
careful.
You should have known better. Mike, you should have known better. Danny, you should have known better. Billy, you're off the hook. You know, so.
I know. It works, doesn't it?
Hey, it's best to be the baby. So what do we have to talk about this morning, November 16th? What's going on? Catherine is our branch manager of our newest branch in downtown Jackson on the corner of South Jackson and
Washington. Right there on the corner. Can't miss us.
So Washington or Louis Glick in that stretch?
When does
it become? It is officially Washington?
It is officially Washington.
So things are going well?
Things are going very well. Staying busy. I know, too, everybody's short-staffed, and my staff is doing a great job of picking up the pieces and waiting on our customers. And, I mean, it's no matter where you go, you're waiting or somebody's short-staffed, and it's just the world we live in right now. But we are doing what we can do just to make it through and keep everybody happy. So I'm glad I've got a good group down there. So everybody's staying positive and plugging away.
So it's a good time to mention the need for tellers. We are always hiring new tellers, new customer service representatives. And
yes.
Also, we are looking to add another commercial lender to the mix.
Yes. I know Jackson Street is looking for a customer service representative. So if you are listening, there is a full-time position open. CNBB.bank to apply.
And what is keeping you most busy these days? What product would you say is you opening accounts, home equities?
It is opening accounts, and crazy enough, still home equities. Generally, they tend to slow down a little bit towards the end of the year, but they have not slowed down once this year. I don't know if people are, because of the equity in their home, or planning ahead for the future and in the spring and getting things set up. I look at it as an insurance policy in case a furnace breaks down. Of course, in the summer, an air conditioner, you have your money right there for you. And that way you can use it. You don't have to put on a credit card. You don't have to get financing from other companies, which could charge you 20%. You're using the equity in your home. And it's there for 10 years, and it is there until you need it.
It's a great tool for, like you said, it's when you need it when real life happens. It's probably the lowest rate, although it is traditionally a variable rate. It is the lowest rate you're going to get for things of that nature,
yes.
Home improvement, pay off credit cards. But we saw this type of market back in the early 2000s when homes were appreciating quite a bit and people did take out a lot of their home equity in the form of loans. When the market crashed, that wasn't the best idea because suddenly you were upside down on your mortgage. So beware of taking out the maximum, especially in a market that we're in today. Homes are appreciating at a rapid rate. We could see that turn on a dime. We've seen that before in 2008. Things were going gangbusters. And in 2010, it was disastrous.
Yes. And I think, though, too, we are in the best interest for our customers also. We kind of evaluate everything, take a look. What is it exactly that you're planning to do? Do you have an estimate? So I think we also by talking with them and going through a couple of things, finding out, you know what, you might not need $100,000. Maybe let's just keep it at $50,000. That will give you enough to do what it is that you're planning to do, still be able to manage your payment. And like you said, if the housing market does crash, you still have that equity in there and available.
And if you do have a first and a large second, or even a small second for that matter, rates are still good on a first mortgage. You can combine the two, get off of that variable rate home equity loan, and get a long-term fixed for that. And so we've had a slowdown in the mortgage department. We've been going gangbusters for the last couple of years, and it was taking quite a while to close because everybody was busy. But rates are up a little bit off of their lows, but they're still very attractive. I printed off a rate sheet this morning. 15-year fixed is still at 3%. 30 years at 3, and so still much better than having a variable rate sizable chunk on a home equity. And so, if you're going to stay in your house and you want a good fixed rate, and your fixed rate on your first mortgage is above those two, consider it. Also consider dropping from a 30-year to a 15-year. If you can save 15 years of payments, that's a significant amount.
It's huge. And I know, too, like myself, I'd rather make one payment than two payments. I'd rather keep track of one payment a month with all the rest of them than I would two payments. That is a good idea to roll them in if you're able to get that fixed.
So do you make one payment, or do you make a payment
payment, say the first of the month, and then your home equity line of credit payment. So you would still have two payments a month. But if you combine them to one, you'll just be making one.
I pay half every 2 weeks. That way I make an extra payment a year. Mortgage is paid off quicker. A lot of agencies will charge you to set up a two-week payment cycle when it's very easy to do yourself. If you've got $1,000 a month payment, pay $500 every pay period. You won't miss it.
Right.
And it pays your mortgage off much, much, much quicker. And so,
and what's handy about that is online banking and the mobile app. You could just go in there when you get paid and transfer the funds, $500 to the mortgage, and the next time you get paid, $500 to the mortgage. It might take you 3 seconds. Put your thumbprint on there.
There's a feature on
the app.
You know as well as I do, there's a feature on there you can set up automatically. Never think about
it. Yes.
And so your mortgage payment comes out the same day as your payday, and every 2 weeks. And like I said, it works out to 13 payments as opposed to 12 payments. And used to be very, very popular when I first started mortgage lending a couple of decades ago now, were biweekly mortgages. Well, that's what a biweekly mortgage is. Just do it yourself, and it will save you quite a bit of money. And with online tools and everything we can do, it's very easy to set up.
Don't even have to think about it.
So, one thing that we get alerts on quite a bit within the bank are scams. And
yes,
heading into holiday seasons, this seems to be when scams pick up. And we were talking a little bit about one coming in. You recently had one you were involved with.
We did. I know criminals are going to find a way. Someone's going to find a way to scam you no matter what it is. Of course, we all know about, you've won the lottery. Send me... here's a $300,000 check, and please send me $250,000 back of it. Wire it to me.
Wire.
We've all heard about those.
We've talked about wire and fraud.
Once it's
with
gone,
wires.
It's gone with the wires. The newest one, though, they have come up with, they will portray themselves as the bank and tell you to go to the bank, withdraw $10,000 worth of funds, but then they want you to go to all different kinds of stores, and with that cash, they want you to buy gift cards. So you're going to go to Walmart, you're going to go to Target, you're going to go to Meijer, you're going to go to Best Buy, and you're going to buy $10,000 worth of gift cards. Then in return, you call them.
What is the scam to compel you to go to the bank and withdraw $10,000?
I know ours was the instance where they said they were from the bank. It was an older gentleman. He had just lost his wife, and I think they prey on things like that, too, of course. I mean, everything's public knowledge anymore. And he came and did a withdrawal for $10,000. Why they had him on the phone, though, they said they were from County National Bank. He asked to talk to myself, and they replied that I was busy. They also asked to talk to another representative, and they also said she was busy. It did not come up County National Bank on the caller ID, of course. Came in, did the withdrawal, and we thought that was very strange. I think that, again, is knowing your customer, knowing their habits,
He did come in.
The next day, though, he brought it back, and he said, something just wasn't right. When they said that I couldn't talk to, you know, yourself or the other individual, something just didn't seem correct. And in talking with them, finding out they wanted him to go and run around town and get all of these gift cards. And then in return, he would call the quote-unquote bank back and give them all of the numbers on the back of the cards and the PIN numbers.
Wow.
So you can't trace it. You can't trace it.
I mean, does the bank ever, do you ever call anyone? We have everyone's information.
We will not call you for a social security number, a date of birth. We will not call you for information like that. If you ever think the bank is calling you, you can always say, you know what? I'm going to call my local bank or branch that I work with, and I will get a hold of somebody I know. So feel free to do that. And if it is from the bank inquiring maybe about fraud on a debit card, we as a bank will understand that you would like to speak to somebody you know their face, you go and see them maybe every week. So we will never stop you from calling the bank if that is what you choose to do.
Another good reason to bank with a community bank with people that are going to be there and that you know and that you can rely on. And,
yes.
And he would have regretted, but thank God he didn't go do anything.
Yes.
Because obviously he was on his way to do it.
He was, and there is no way to get those funds back.
And wires, those are also...
wire frauds, big one through emails, generally. So it's really knowing that individual, speaking to that customer and saying, like if you came in, Bill, and said, I want to wire 50 grand to California.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not your usual pattern. That's not generally what you do in your daily habits.
That's true. I don't have $50,000 to wire to anybody. But
like, what are you doing, Bill? What are you doing with that money? But it is. It's knowing your customers, them knowing you, just sitting down, having conversations with them, and really running into them all over town, like you said, because we're a community bank.
So people are getting texts, they're getting emails, they're getting phone calls, they're getting mail. Their best thing to do is to just contact the bank.
Just contact your bank.
And find out
and
confirm.
We will let you know because we will look at your debit cards. We will look at your account. We will double check to see if anything looks suspicious on that account. And that is part of it. We're protecting you. You're protecting us as a bank. Another good way, which I always do every morning, is check your account with your app.
I do that.
Every morning. Just in case, because sometimes you may see a fraudulent charge on there, especially with the debit cards. Now everybody... with the skimmers and the pumps or anywhere you go.
What's your knowledge of skimmers? Is there any way to spot a skimmer?
They're getting better and better every day. Just evolving like technology. They used to be more of a big bulky type machine that they would slide over the actual card reader. Now they are just like you said, like everything else in technology, it's getting smaller. They're getting harder to detect. It's not, if you're at the pump and ready to pay for gas, if you want to jiggle that a little bit before you put your card in, that slot, just go ahead and make sure there is nothing there. Or walk inside and pay there.
Right.
That would be a little safer.
If it doesn't feel right, if something that hasn't, just call your bank.
Yep.
Call your branch manager, call myself, call anyone that you know within the bank and say, hey, is this legit?
How many times have you been out, let's say, to Polly's or just out and about getting gas and someone's come up to you and said, hey, I got a phone call, or hey, I was just curious about this, and is this...
It doesn't happen that often,
no?
But I do get phone calls and say, hey, you know, typically it's with an older mother or father, that the older you are, the more of a target you are.
Oh, yeah.
Because the more trusting you are. I could not get my mom and dad to stop answering the phone. The 1-800 number would pop up on the TV and say, Mom, that's a junk call. That's a telemarketer. They want to talk to me. I'm answering it.
Yep.
And then they would end up talking to them.
Or what if it's that? Or what if it's somebody else calling from a different number?
Right.
You always have to have your guard up anymore.
And so it's probably prudent to educate, if you do have an older parent or an older acquaintance of any sort, to warn them that there are a lot of scoundrels out there.
Yes.
Now, you came from a big bank. We always promote the fact that you're better off with a community bank when something like this does happen. Would you say that's the case?
I think so. I definitely think so.
And not just a scam, just a problem on your account.
I think just everything, because then you know who you're talking with. You know that I'm calling Catherine. I know who she is. I know I can go in there and talk to her, and she's going to look at everything that I need to know. Bigger banks, I'm calling the 1-800 number. I have somebody in Ohio. I don't know who I'm dealing with. Yeah. Are they really looking at my account? Are they looking out for the best interest for me?
And you never get that same person twice, it seems.
No.
You have to explain the same situation each time you call.
Yes.
And so that can get very, very tiresome.
Yep.
Real
but if
quick.
You ever have a question, I mean, we welcome you to come in to call. Let's help you, which in turn I think is helping the bank also.
And we're more face-to-face. We want to see you. We want to know what you look like. So when you do call, we do know you and can describe
and know your voice. Absolutely.
And
then we learn your habits too. And then if we do hear of something a little out of your everyday banking, then we can ask some more questions and find out just to help them. And I think it's educating our staff and ourselves. Educating our customers also.
You're just providing a little peace of mind.
Yes.
For when something does happen, you have someone here to help. And that's what we're all about. So, Catherine, how can people get a hold of you?
They can call me at 517-544-0902. That's our Jackson Street office.
And you can contact me at 768-0056.